morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our meeting. And on behalf of our chair, his apologies that the protest is affecting the traffic on the N1. And I'm really grateful that those of you that also make use of the N1 that you are here in time. Obviously, I will be happy to hand over the chair to our permanent chair once he or she arrives. Thank you very much, members, also for your presence and for the confidence put in me. Can we go straight into the apologies this year? And can we also ask that the officials serving us there as representatives of the parliamentary monitoring group, who would be so kind as to also state your names?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Gerald Moore from PMG.
Morning, everyone. I'm Yonela Mgono from PMG.
Good morning. I'm Denise Matthews from PMG.
Thank you very much. I believe we've introduced it, and then we've got our assistant here. Thank you, ma'am. Much appreciated. I believe the presentation is already up and ready on the screens. So can I just quickly ask who's going to lead the presentation?
Good morning, Chief. Yes, I will lead the presentation. This is the presentation from the Board of the General's Office. So I'll lead that presentation.
Thank you so much, sir. You may proceed.
Chief, so the slides I'm going to present is the policy outcomes for the local government in the Western Cape for the period 2017-18. I'm just sitting around pointing into the right direction. So this is just our accountability wheel that's just giving an indication of what needs to be in place to facilitate clean governance and clean participation within any entity that, or deliver services or manage money for that matter, the type of controls and what needs to happen. We call this the accountability wheel. So first of all, it speaks about planning and strategic plans that would be what happens in municipalities, how they get to deliver services, etc. The doing thereof is when they do the deliver those services. The checking is the internal control that ensure that everything went according to the rules applicable to those municipalities, and then the action that is to be taken when it comes to when there's transgression or that certain rules have not been followed. I'm not going to go much into this, just by saying this slide gives you an overview that we've audited about 28 of the 30 municipalities during the period for the previous year. That's 2017 for the 2017-18 cycle. Two municipalities did not have any financial statements in a timely manner or it could be incorporated into this presentation or the general report, as you call it, and the colors there will just give you an indication of, you know, the audit outcomes for the municipality as we go through the slide. This slide gives you an indication of what is happening in the Western Cape. It basically gives you a layout for a period of 3 years. The first period that you, the first bar that you look at is, I would recommend the right hand to the right of the slide, which speaks to 2016 audit outcomes for the Western Cape municipalities. And then the one to the far left would be the latest audit outcomes for the Western Cape municipalities. So what this slide tells us is that you would see that in 2015-16, we had 77% municipalities receiving an unqualified audit outcome with no findings. So what we normally call that is a clean audit outcome. So 77% 23 municipalities out of the 13 municipalities that receive clean audit outcome. If we forward to 2017-18 you would notice that that number has regressed to only 12 municipalities, which means 40%. So 40% of municipalities in the 2017-18 cycle receive an unqualified audit outcome with no findings, which is 12 municipalities out of the 30 municipalities. As previously indicated, two municipalities didn't have any financial statements for audit purposes, and those municipalities were Kanda municipality and Lensburg that couldn't be incorporated in time into this slide. Okay, this is just an overview of the country. I'm not going to delve into that, but you can see a broader picture of how all the municipalities in the different provinces looks in the country in terms of their audit outcomes. This picture zooms into the Western Cape specifically, and it just gives you an indication of, you know, where, what type of news, what outcomes municipalities receive in the different districts. So you see, for example, in the West Coast district, there's about 4 municipalities that receive clean audit outcomes, Overberg also 4, and then as you move around the Garden Route and Central Peru, the picture regresses a bit. So, City of Cape Town, you'll notice there that also received an audit outcome which is unqualified with findings. So that's the metro, the one where the star is there on the far left of the chart. So, this slide gives you an overview of, you know, what the financial statements and the performance management or the performance reports that have been submitted. And it gives you an overview of the quality of the submission of those financial statements and performance reports which are submitted for audit purposes. You would see the first method that comes up on the slide is submission of financial statements by the legislative body for all municipalities. And you can see from that slide that we had in the 2016-17 period there was a 96% submission rate for municipalities, whereas in the 2017-18 period there was 89% submission rate for municipalities, and which is a slight regression. And that regression is mainly attributable to the implementation of MSCOA and some system problems that municipalities experience with regards to the implementation of MSCOA. When it comes to the quality of the submission of those financial statements, once again there's also been a regression in that the quality that we see compared to the previous year is great. In other words, we have municipalities, when we talk about conformance to the reporting framework, there was a regression in some municipalities, conforming all instances with the financial reporting framework when it came to the submission of financial statements. If you go to our performance reports, the picture again here looks slightly different. In this case, you would notice that the performance reports all have been submitted by municipalities, those have been reported, so there's been 100% submission rate for those municipalities. However, the quality of the performance reports that was basically published, there was a slight deviation with regards to that. This is just a picture of, many municipalities make use of consultants to assist them in preparation of their financial statements or their performance information for that matter, or sometimes with compliance matters. And this is just a picture of, where consultants were involved with municipalities, what impact on the outcomes was for those municipalities. And you see that in this case, where consultants did assist municipalities, about 10% of them had seen all the outcomes. You also notice that when it comes to material misstatements, in the areas of consultants were responsible for the 24 municipalities that we reported, you would see that 54% were 13 municipalities basically, or 54% where there were material misstatements in the areas where the consultants assisted the municipality. And lastly, I just wanted to outline that the amount that was paid for consultants and municipalities amounts to about 30 million in the areas where all the financial statements or the performance reports that they So many of the findings that we reported for municipalities that regressed them from their previous clean of the outcomes or unqualified with no findings to unqualified with findings is in the area of compliance with laws and regulations. And you will notice many of those findings were in the areas of procurement and contract management, or the submission of financial statements, or the prevention of irregular services and unauthorized statements. I think those were the most areas where we had findings, and those are normally the areas where most of the material findings that we risk So the biggest area the biggest risk area for municipalities when it comes to compliance with laws and regulations relates to the area of procurement and contract management. And here with this slide is an indication of what the findings were in the area of procurement and contract management for the various municipalities. So you notice that in some instances we were not able to audit certain procurement items or contracts because of the information that's not available. So we have limitation in that regard. In other cases where we did have information, either we picked up that in some instances for municipalities that unfair or uncompetitive planning processes are followed, and that was the case for certain municipalities. And we also had instances, for example, where there was false declarations of interest made by certain suppliers in municipalities, as well as awards to close family members of either employees or councillors in municipality amounted to 116 million. And this is across all municipalities. Okay, on the same slide, you notice that municipalities with material findings in the area of supply chain management is about 43% or 12 municipalities. And again, those with not material findings, but with findings, but they were not material, that also amounts to about 43% or 12 municipalities. So this slide is an overview of the current year versus the prior year. You will notice that in the current or the year that we are speaking about, which is 2017-18, what we normally encourage or motivate municipalities to do is when we are fine-tuning our management report, which is not, you know, just for management purposes, it's for them to draw up a municipal action plan to address those findings so that it doesn't escalate or to the audit report, you know, when it becomes material. And this slide gives you just a sense of, you know, findings that we reported in the previous year, which were not material, which has escalated into material society management findings in the current year because, for reasons that maybe that municipalities didn't implement or didn't pay sufficient attention to the findings that we previously reported and didn't put adequate actions in place to address those findings. To prevent material findings in the audit report. So non-compliance for supply chain management, what the slide gives indication of is that in which areas due to the non-compliance occur for supply chain management specifically. And we see here that we list the number of areas, and you see it's for three quotations, either way, municipalities didn't invite or three quotations, and you made out resource, use of services, declaration of interest, competitive bidding not invited, similar to the three quotation story where you didn't follow procurement processes in relation to procuring goods and services. And then also in the area of the calculation of preference points, with supplier of special fees in order and the documentation is not supplied the minimum thresholds for local content. So those are all the municipalities where we have the findings and percentages in relation to the total amount of municipalities that we ordered that had these findings reported for those municipalities. The regular expenditure, notice from this slide that there has been a significant spike in the regular expenditure for the Western Cape municipality. But I immediately want to go to the next slide to give a sense of which municipalities contribute to that regular expenditure. And you would notice that the two biggest contributors to those regular expenditure spikes was the City of Cape Town and Ocean Rooms. And those two were the biggest contributors to the spike in the expenditure. Unauthorized expenditure, once again here, you will notice that there has been a bit of a spike in this area as well. And that runs across all municipalities where we have some unauthorized expenditure incurred for those municipalities. So that's been a regression in the state of this area as well. So when you have any of the unauthorized fruitless wasteful irregular expenditure, what is expected from the accounting officer is that we need to, you know, implement some actions to either condone the irregular expenditure or unauthorized and fruitless or wasteful expenditure to take into account if you want to off. Or to implement the process whereby you recover that regular expenditure from the relevant officials that's responsible for that regular expenditure. So that's the slide that speaks to that in terms of the amount of the regular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure for that matter, where consequences have been adequately implemented by municipal officials to either condone it, to write reports, or to recover them. And this slide will give you an indication. What the red part of the slide gives you an indication of is it will tell you that a certain percentage, the red portion of this bar that you see, is the portion of the unauthorized fruitless and wasteful expenditure which has not been dealt with by council at municipality. So that gives you an indication of the consequence management happening with regards to that kind of expenditure when non-compliance is occurred, whether the municipality, the county officer together with the council, has implemented the necessary consequences to deal with the expenditure of fruitless and unauthorized expenditure. This slide follows on to the previous slide where we just give an indication of the investigation that has been conducted to manage whether there has been transgressions in the area of supply chain management and that transgressions have been investigated. What this slide will tell you is that instances where investigations have happened, instances where no investigations have happened, and this is the picture that we have for the various areas that's been highlighted on the slide. Now this slide is just been included because what we've noticed as our audit office, as we go around to audit our municipalities within the Western Cape, is that we've encountered increasing pushback from municipalities in and around the Western Cape. And that's due to the nature of the findings that we've made. Some of the findings are of very technical nature, others are, more obvious findings that that you can't argue with. What we've noticed is that as the auditors produces these findings, we notice that municipalities are increasingly pushing back and they are sort of indicating to us that they would not hesitate to use legal people to assist them or legal lawyers to defend them against the findings that the Auditor General is raising. And we're not against municipalities employing lawyers to defend Auditor General findings. However, it creates a situation where we also defend those findings, which can be a costly exercise for both municipalities and can be a costly exercise for our office as well. Because sometimes you need to employ outside legal experts like advocates and so on to deal with these matters. The slide I'm not going to deal with because the slide is just an indication of the ESCOM arrears at that point in time. And we see most of the Western Cape municipalities, they were up to date, they were up for 30 days, in the 30-day column when it came to payment of this or ESCOM for electricity. And the next slide you see the same for the water board. So we do have any issues with this in the Western Cape. This slide just highlights for the projects that we looked at in municipalities in the areas of water sanitation and infrastructure, what kind of findings that we had and the amount of the expenditure that we identified for the projects that we looked at. And you will notice that for water and sanitation and housing infrastructure, we didn't report any revenue expenditure. Only in the area of water infrastructure there was some revenue expenditure. I'm not going to go into this slide, but these two slides are just the main municipalities that have qualifications. The one municipality was the Boko West municipality that had previously that the same audit finding, which moved to a qualified audit finding, and then the Oslo municipality, which was still sitting on a qualified audit finding for and then I have touched a little bit on this, but this is the main root causes that was identified by the audit teams and ourselves with regards to what gave rise, what was the reasons or the root causes that gave rise to most of the findings that we reported for the municipalities that we audited. And you will notice that one of the findings that we had, or one of the root causes that we had, is around supply chain management and interpretation of the rules pertaining to supply chain management is where municipalities utilize or interpret supply chain management rules in a manner that would suit them or that would allow them to procure either from, to not follow a proper procurement process. And that is specifically a risk in the area of deviations where municipalities, for example, have to document proper reasons as to why they are deviating from supply chain management processes. Another report that we have identified is that the slide that I talked about is consequences when there are transmissions. You know, our proper consequences implemented for those that have transgressed the rules applicable to municipalities, and that is one of the reports that is identified that accounting officers and councils sometimes don't implement the necessary resources to have consequences, necessary consequences to address the shortcomings when they are identified by either the municipality or by ourselves. And then lack of understanding, I think that's another area of concern for some municipalities where sometimes we notice that the staff doesn't always understand either the financial reporting framework, or they don't have proper understanding of the supply chain management rules that people do in municipalities. So that is another area of concern that you raise as a new course in this slide. And then I think the last one indicated is that in some instances we find that what we communicate to municipalities is not always action always taken in those areas. So we report maybe issues in the area of supply chain management or in the area of other compliance areas, but what we notice is that sometimes municipalities don't implement proper actions in relation to the findings that we raise, which means that next year when we come and do the audit again, chances are there that we're going to have the same finding for that municipality repeating itself again. And it might be that it was not material in the previous year, and when identify the finding again, it can escalate to material findings, impacts the audit report for that municipality. So that's it on the audit outcomes. For municipalities, this slide gives you an overall description of the roles of the leadership of municipalities and what they need to look at when they advance municipalities to clean administration or clean government. And this feedback was the overview of the audit outcomes for the municipalities for the cycle 2017-18. The next, this third little slide is a little bit of a presentation, but I'm sure the members would know that our audit act, which governs the Office of the Auditor General, has been amended to give the Office of the Auditor General more powers when it comes to auditing government institutions and entities. So what's the expansion of the mandate of the Auditor General in terms of the legislation of that? I want to give you members a quick overview of what happened. So the biggest amendment when it comes to the Public Audit Act that governs the Office of the Auditor General and how the office conducts audits is in relation to an amendment to on the inclusion of the definition of a material irregularity. So what that entails is that it says that if we identify non-compliance during our audit, so we audit compliance here, like supply chain management, sometimes financial management, there's compliance, difficult to that, and various other compliance areas that we're auditing, we identify non-compliance. And sometimes that non-compliance either is not material or material. So that definition says that if we identify any non-compliance or contravention of the legislation for theft or breach of fiduciary duty during an audit, and that's an important part. So we must identify this during an audit, which has resulted or is likely to result in a material financial loss or the misuse or the loss of a public material public source or substantial harm to the public or public institution or the general public, then it fits into the definition of a material irregularity. And then what that means is that we then report this. If it ticks all these boxes, if it's non-compliant that we've identified, ticks all the boxes, in other words, we've identified the non-compliant, say for example, the supply chain management regulations, a contract was awarded to a supplier to build a football stadium or rugby stadium or rugby field in a municipal area. The auditors arrive, they do the audit work, there's some payments made on that contract. The auditors arrive, they go and investigate and verify this work that has been done. The municipality says that, for example, that the rugby field is finished. The auditors arrive, no rugby field, maybe just a fence. Then what we into this because we've identified non-compliance, maybe the procurement process wasn't properly followed, or whatever the case might be. We identified during the audit the material losses that payments have been made to the supplier, but nothing has been delivered in return. What will happen then is that the accounting officer will have to take action with regards to that. And if the accounting officer does not take action, we will then have the auditor general will then have various actions that we can take when it comes to this material irregularity identified. And the various actions that the auditor general can take is either he issues firstly a recommendation or he can issue a binding remedial action. That's the two options that we have. The recommendation would be for the accounting officer to act first. And if the accounting officer then doesn't act based on the remedial based on the recommendation of the auditor general, then the next step for the auditor general would be to issue a binding remedial action. If before we get to the binding remedial action, say for example we do the audit and we cannot complete the investigation during the audit, or the investigation is such a nature that it's a complicated or technical investigation, then what would happen is in that regard the auditor general has to option to refer into another public body which is capable of resources and capable of doing that investigation. For example, the Hawks or the SIU or the public protector or National Treasury or one of those other public bodies which the auditor general deems it to have the necessary skills to do that investigation on behalf. Once the report comes back, similarly, the auditor general issues binding remedial action. If the accounting officer still doesn't act on the binding remedial action, the last step in this chain would then be to issue a certificate of debt on the accounting officer to then repay the losses that were incurred by the entity that which has been ordered. So that is just the expansion. In terms of expansion, you will see that the President signed this law into effective on the 1st of April 2019. So what has happened is this has been phased for that to be implemented by the Office of the Auditor General, but we didn't implement it for all our audits across the country. So a phase in the project will follow. Excuse me. A phase in the process we follow around this, and we had about 16 audits during the PMA cycle that for which this legislation has been implemented in the provinces around the country. But the Western Cape was excluded from the PMA cycle because there were no audits within the Western Cape that fit the criteria that was applied to audits, in South Africa and the rest of the country when it came to the implementation of the Public Audit Act and the amendments there too. And what is implemented on with the public amendments of the Public Audit Act is also not the full definition thereof. So if I go back to what material irregularity is, We have implemented for those 16 policies that have been selected the full low definition of what an integrated regularity is. So what we implemented all the definition during that for the phase is basically to say that a material irregularity for the 2018-19 audit cycle is going to be any non-compliance or contravention with legislation against there in the first part. Identified during an audit performed under this head that resulted or is likely to result to a material financial loss full stop. So the rest of the definition is not then implemented. So the first part of the definition is only the non-compliance with this legislation identified during an audit which is likely to result in a material loss. That is where the definition ends for purposes of auditing 2018-19. Now, for the pre-audit pay cycle, I've indicated that we haven't selected an audit team in the Western Cape, but for the MFA, the current municipal cycle, we did select an audit team for in our province for the Western Cape. So that audit is currently in order for material irregularity for this definition, implementation of this definition. And that is the end of my presentation, Chair. I don't know if there is one last question or maybe not.
I don't know, Mr. Ockers. Thank you, Steve. So you have no more that the stars have seen, but ons waardeer dit. En ek op hierdie stadium net sê ons voorzitter het intussen opgedaag. Baie welkom. Ek hoop dit al genoegsaam die adrenaline wat geweet kon bestuur. En ek wil weer oorgee vir u. Goed, baie dankie. Ek gaan as u eers reg. Ons sal begin met ons net vir stoelen wissel. En dit gaan dan geleentheid is vraag vir die heer.
Thank you, Honorable Commissioner, for standing in for the meeting. I do apologize for my late arrival. I was speaking about the terrorism that was perpetrated by some people in the Dunia area. So, unfortunately, I spent almost 2.5 hours on the road and traveled 32 kilometers. But we did it today. Thank you, Terry, maybe for the those of you who may not know who I am. I have this much of the presentation. I will go through it myself. And should I have further questions after scrutiny of the presentation, I think we'll get into contact with you and we'll change our details. Colleagues, you have listened to the presentation. I'd like to thank Honorable Mitchell for standing in for me, and if you wish to leave, he is most welcome to leave on the meeting. Colleagues, we have the presentation in front of us. We have listened to the presentation. Maybe we had enough time to digest the content of it. I will open the floor for crisp questions and then we can take it from there. Yeah, maybe what I can say, we did receive other department an updated and supplementary update in terms of addressing the remedial action that Ryan will define, and also the mode you in terms of the forming of the various forms of bacteria. So I think that the first step is to make this feel that we should provide the HIV with a platform to address this gathering to the questions raised. I'm open to that. Honorable Smith, do you have anything to add?
Honourable Chairperson, members, thank you very much. I would suggest that we perhaps consider making two additional presentations just to see what both departments, both the Department of Local Government as well as the Provincial Treasury have done in response to the findings of the Auditor General. And Chairperson, add that the presentations focus exactly on the key findings of the 17-18 audit, and we're just tracking what both departments are doing in relation to those findings. It's not a general presentation in the support and the work that both departments do in the local government environment, so it's very specific. The Department of Local Government will do and focus on the governance and service delivery matters in relation to the audit findings, and the Provincial Treasury will do and focus fundamentally on the financial performance, inclusive of supply chain procurement and contract management. And for this reason, Ms. Barnett will do the presentation on service delivery and governance, including the work that we're doing around HR, and then Mrs. Igado will do the presentation on behalf of the Treasury in relation to the financial performance inclusive of the supply chain procurement and the contract management. And then perhaps, Chair, we are open to any questions subsequent to that. Thank you very much. Ms. Barnett.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bolton. I've just get some clarity in terms of the flow of the presentation, because we do have the quality performance presentation as well. That will follow after we have addressed those kind of presentation decisions. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, HD and honourable members. I will focus on my HIV indicators, specifically on the matters that were raised. I'm going to flip over the first slide, which is a summary of what the AG presented to the House a few minutes ago. So what we've subsequently done, honourable members, is we have updated the two last outstanding audits which the Auditor General will refer to. We've actually included them in the picture in front of you, which now shows three audits, one qualified with Logo and Monterey, and then unqualified as well as qualified. So that's the picture of the recent case at the moment. So honourable members, what we've done from our side and we've led this exercise together with the Provincial Treasury is to really start unpacking what are some of the matters that was raised by the Auditor General. So you saw us now comparing just our findings together with the slides in the AG, and it's the same type of matters that were highlighted. So what is important for us is when do you?
Could I thank you, Mr. Porter. It appears that most of the members don't have printed copy. I have printed my copy because I have a female transcript. So you happy with your copy? No? That's not good. Now they all have copies now. That's not good.
So, I'm going to just reflect on this slide. What we've done together with the Provincial Treasury is really work through the details of both the management areas as well as the AG finding position in study. And we really unpacked every finding for every municipality and then came up with this sort of a last summary slide
to give us an indication about which are the issues that were highlighted the most. So on the right hand side, we see a number of occurrences, but also a number of incidents in which these issues were raised by the AG, specific municipality. And the same also allows our honourable members to drill into what exactly does that mean and which municipalities are highlighted. We did this very specifically to identify which are the governance and service delivery related matters that require our attention, and like my HED indicated a few minutes ago, what we will then decide is which are some of the projects that we will now focus our specific attention on in terms of providing support. So the first one is specifically around ICT. ICT is a matter that recently became much more focused and targeted by the Auditor General, and we started giving very focused support to municipalities, but specifically helping them and assisting them. These are some of the projects that we have introduced over the last few years, and also much more specifically targeted in the last few months. We are giving municipalities assistance with the rollout of ICT governance framework, and that will then focus on matters that speak to governance, security, disaster preparedness, and also recovery. Now the ICT governance framework of the municipality actually assists the municipality to get their ICT house in order, and to providing very direct support in that regard to municipalities. Guidance to municipalities with the introduction of ICT controls and mitigation measures. We are currently also developing a data governance framework with municipalities so that they have a better understanding of how to handle the information that they have and put it into a knowledge management space. The next bullet indicates, honourable members, a project that has been busy with for some time, but we've assisted 18 municipalities already to just update and ensure that their websites are online. Now lastly, which I think is very important, is we meet with ICT managers on a quarterly basis. So every single municipality has a person that they've identified, we meet with them, and the last two meetings we exclusively dealt with providing them support and assistance in terms of their audit findings. So what we typically do with the assistance of CEI and the Department of the Premier is to identify some of the findings of which we have to detail and explain to you before. What measures do you put in place as a municipality to clear that and make sure that you get in front of it? So we've already dealt with that two meetings, and we will continue to do that in the future. Next matter that was raised, honourable members, by the AG is specifically around human resources in municipalities. So the first big project that we have embarked on a few months ago is to assist municipalities to design structures. Now, legislation says that municipalities on a yearly basis must review their organizational structure. It's a very costly process. So what we've done, we pull together HR managers of municipalities and say, let us come up with a standard organizational structure which municipalities can then use, and then just make small changes to retrofit it for their own needs and requirements. A chairperson, honorable chairperson, what's nice about this project, we're doing it together with municipalities. So we're not using service providers, but we're using the skills that are sitting inside municipalities. Further to this, the department hosts what we call a constitutional and legislative task team, which meets. And in that task team, we share legal findings. We talk through what is permissible, what is not permissible, how do you handle appointments, and it's become a very, very good platform to share with municipalities and also to build capacity. We developed circulars based on legal prescripts. We developed something called the Good Governance Practice Note, and that is literally a step-by-step guide for municipalities in terms of how they do certain things like the appointment of the senior officials. And then lastly, we have in the past and will continue on for members to deploy officials to go and physically act in municipalities if they are capacity challenges. So these are some of the things that we're doing at the moment to bolster the HR capability of municipalities. The next few slides, honourable members, honourable chair, speak specifically to leadership. Now this is also raised in the AG's presentation throughout this report. And what we realize as the department together with the Treasury is that leadership in the municipality really sets the tone for what happens. But leadership, as in my slide, the members will see that it speaks to political leadership, but also the leadership in the administration. So for the definition of unpacking a little bit more, I I will just touch on those. But it sets the tone for ethical behavior, accountability, and also the way in which we are rendering services in this municipality. Now, where there is a sinful absence of these factors and in combination, the municipality will start having difficulty in doing the things that they need to do, when they need to do it, and how they need to do it. So with that background, we have designed a number of very specific projects which we are rolling out to strengthen specifically political leadership as well as oversight. We are currently building the training and capacity building of counselors on two levels. The first one is to really look at personal value, the value of a counselor, and we are planning summer schools around that in October. But secondly, we are also assisting counselors with their technical capabilities, roles and responsibilities, priority, as a speaker, and so on. Then we are also supporting the extensive training for in terms of oversight impact. The colleagues from Treasury will also touch on that. We've done a guide, and we also facilitate state officials to attend impact training to see what is in the agenda, what is the type of conversation, and if there is some more and better support that we can actually improve the functioning, we will provide that feedback to the counselors. And then lastly, our department is also very much involved in providing advisory services specifically around the interpretation and the application of the code of conduct in council to make sure that it is the right level of functioning of our councils and they can perform their function. Just in terms of a little bit of a wider definition, if we look at oversight, the type of work the department is also doing is to assist the functionality of the group. Because if you look at the community side, it also speaks to the leadership side in the municipality. So we've done extensive work on that. Our department, further honorable members, also decided, took a decision to support the full rollout of GovChat. Our GovChat is the national government-driven cell phone application that will definitely dramatically improve and increase the ability of community members to consult one of their board counselors, but also within the society. Now, all districts have very functional IGR structures at the moment, but what is important for us is to improve even more the level of equity, strategic intent, and also let that have a positive impact on the citizens in that district. And I will touch on that on the later slide, and I'm sure my actually also provide a little bit more detail. And then lastly, honourable members, a very important also project that the department is rolling out of and is doing very effectively so is the Tucson outreach program, where we are literally bringing government to the people, but once again, it connects with the oversight, responsibility and functioning of leadership. Now let's have a look at the support that we are providing honourable members in terms of strengthening the administrative leadership of municipalities, the projects that we currently busy with. We provide legal advice and training on the understanding of legislation and governance-related matters. The department has prepared good governance practice notes. We are implementing middle management training and development programs, and that's specifically to prepare municipal officials to take the next step and become effective leaders. We have a very active monitoring and mentoring and coaching program. The next bullet is quite an important one, honourable members. What we also do is we assist to clarify the legal landscape in which our municipalities are functioning. So what we will technically and physically do is we will get legal opinions and then provide that to the municipalities. And also the workshop that are intended for the committee that meets, it's workshop there with municipalities to make sure that they have an understanding. That in that space we are trying to clarify and make sure that there is no confusion about how things we also have introduced something that we call shared services and intermunicipal cooperation, and that is in a specific two or three municipalities work together. For instance, a practical example is to appoint one engineer between two or three municipalities, they share the cost, and all of them have access to the engineer. And this specifically happens more often in more rural municipalities. But all of a sudden, municipalities have access to take advantage of them. And then lastly, to improve the results of preparedness, we dedicated to managed projects. And these projects are specifically designed for the administration of the municipality. Now just one or two slides on the moment. So the slides that we just presented was in specific response to the the matters that we put up in today's agenda. All that we want to do in this slide is just to indicate that, notwithstanding that support, the department is still also continuing with the Back to Basics program, which is our vehicle to provide specific support to specific municipalities. Now, up to date, we really have had a number of municipalities that have exited the program. Some of them have also now subsequently achieved clean audits. But this is our way of bringing departments together to assist the municipalities to strengthen systems and projects. So there are just some of the examples of the projects that we've done to date, and it is a project that we're quite proud of. Just in terms of the next slide, this vehicle that we've created, Honourable Members, Back to Basics, has created a space where all departments come together in the municipality. So those are not an exhaustive list. Ourselves and Provincial Treasury drive the process together, but we've made sure that everybody that plays a role in the municipality comes into that space. Honourable members will also see on the list some national departments, water authorities and so on, which then says that everything in that municipality that needs help or support is in that space. Also just to mention that on top of this, we are meeting with Provincial Treasury on a quarterly basis. Honourable members, we call it a joint working group. That's very important for us as the department, because we work so closely in this space, it's important for us to have conversations about what it is that we do and what strategic we want to achieve together as the two departments in the community. Then the last few slides, Honourable Members, we just wanted to give you an update on Kamala. Kamala Municipality was one of the two municipalities that in both years submitted the annual financial statement today. Honourable members may also be aware that they are currently under full intervention by Cabinet. So we just wanted to give you a little bit of an update. Just to indicate that Kamala Municipality is currently in the province, the only municipality under administration. Kamala has really been experiencing some challenges for years. And not only on a financial space, but there's been decline in terms of service delivery, economic growth. And then obviously also its ability to attract officials to come and work. Just in terms of intervention, Cabinet then resolved to put Kamalan under administration in terms of section 1395C of the Constitution, and that specifically deals with financial recovery plan. And as a combination, the two departments have appointed an administrator, and the administrator will be in the municipality until February 2020. Now it's very important, Honourable Members, also in terms of our support, that Kamala not only has a financial recovery plan, but always the both departments go in with what we call the Section 5154 support package. So we're not only looking at the financial matters in Kamala, but we're also looking at other types of matters, and we highlighted just a few matters there for members to have a look at. So first of all, definitely financial recovery plan, but we're also looking at the organizational structures, water security, wastewater treatment work, landfall issues, and ICT matters. So it's really looking at Thailand as a complete picture, and we bring it as important. The last bullet, I think, is important. Subsequently, Thailand Municipality received an unqualified audit opinion for the current financial, just the past financial year. So we just needed to make the main approach aware. And then the last slide, Honourable Chairman, Honourable Members, just in conclusion, and I will ask my head of department just to connect with me there. Going forward, the department has now adopted the joint district approach, whereby it will change the way in which we provide support to municipalities systematically and very positively, so we believe. And together with that, we will then come in with a single support stamp for every district. So everything that we've highlighted before will now collapse into a single space and make sure that there's a single plan for every district, and I'll hand it over to my HD. And then just the last bullet, the department, and surely with the support and with the together with Provincial Treasury, the department remains committed to continue its support for all municipalities to ensure clean governance but also better life for all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Also, we'd like
to... Sure, this is not a visit, so I suggest that we did this session. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ajoji and Honorable Member, and also the teams from both partners. We will talk with the perspective of the Chairperson and the General of the Support Initiative that we brought out to the municipalities and that will respond to the issues that have been identified by AG and the other stakeholders. In terms of our presentation, we're going to start in terms of what kind of strategy we follow in the Mozambique government and what context that we talk to. And also we're going to zoom in terms of our approach to the Philippine Commission Treasury, how do we go about in handling all of our items. And then we're going to go to the scale support that we will roll out as the territories within the Commission Treasury, which are all talking to the issues that are raised by the AG. And also we're going to zoom in as the perspective in terms of talking to the other priorities in Africa, the peaceful expansion which we raised. How did you assist the municipalities in that context? We're going to talk about the issues that you raised relating to public management, which were raised by also the AG. We'll also zoom into the issues that are also impacting a lot in terms of the hiring, those are the issues of supply chain management. In that, we're going to talk about the issues as to how we did support the municipalities as treasury. And then we're going to go to financial government issues, public finance, cash management, issues that are all affecting the issues that have been raised by the AG. I'm not going to be there but the slide that Peter has spoken to in terms of the joint district approach, which we all agreed to adhere to the Western Cape government departments to use or utilize the LIVA in terms of the market as part of the decision. I think, Chairperson and Honourable Members, this slide talks to the government environment that we are currently faced in terms of what we're supposed to consider when we are assisting the municipalities. Talks of the issues that are there in terms of the accountability failures, which were contributed by the political and administrative leadership challenges, which also either has spoken to in terms of how the Department of Local Government is assisting in addressing them. The issue of shortage of recruited skills in terms of addressing the competences within the local government. The issues of increased allegation in terms of fraud and corruption. And also the issues of ineffective utilization of the internal controls within the municipal environment. And as I said before, the ineffective control management that are supposed to be followed. The key issue of the stagnant economic outlook, which is also impacting on us as the Western Cape. And also the financial liability that you are a treasury identifying within the municipality. It's one of the key components that is very much active within now the MFA space or the municipal space. And also the issue of progressing MFA reforms that are always being given to municipalities to implement, notwithstanding what the municipalities are faced with, that leading to the introduction of new laws and regulations which the municipalities are supposed to adhere to, which in essence or in turn is going to talk to the issues of increased cost of compliance which the municipalities are faced with. So whatever we do within the provincial treasury and local government, we do that help holding this at the back of our minds so that look, the municipalities or health environment is faced with these challenges in terms of taking the issues of services in our forward. Now, as I said, I'm not going to talk a lot in terms of what informs our strategies, the themes that we all know of, and what it talks to in terms of what is supposed to follow. We as provincial treasury and other departments are following the themes as you see from that screen as a read. In terms of also having to address all of those issues. Now, when we have to talk to the issues that have been raised under those things, we zoom into what we as Provincial Treasury have been tasked or mandated to do, that of being responsive, inclusive, and also enabling positive change in terms of contributing to the changes of the lives of the citizens out there. This we do as also part and parcel of also addressing the audit outcomes. All of our issues that we do within the provincial treasury are informed by that mandate. And then the enablers that we utilize so that we can be able to deliver that money are the issues of effective resource mobilization, effective and efficient use of our resources that we provide, and all of those ones, addressing the issues that we brought also in terms of leadership at all levels, including that of culture. That also goes out now to the next point that we always adhere to as the provincial treasurer, that of integrated outcome approach to address the issue of food for the sacrament. So that is where we come from, as Professor Teresa, when you are asking the municipality about us, and also when you are talking about a lot of the items that are supposed to do in terms of assisting the municipality. So that is just a brief background in the broad approaches to what we do and how, what kind of processes we follow in terms of assisting the municipality. Now, I was hoping Honorable Chairperson and the members to the issue that we've done in terms of assisting the municipalities from the 17-18 financial year up until the 18-19 financial year so that we can prepare the municipalities for the upcoming, or the current audit that are being currently done by the AG. In terms of the accounting files from our department, we were fortunate enough to have most of the municipalities having submitted their annual financial statements within the legislative prescript, except the issue of Canaland Municipality. I think Ida has already alluded to the issue of Canaland Municipality. We are being assisting Canaland together with the Department of Local Government in terms of actually the contributing factors in what has made the Canaland not to start with the issues on time. We are anticipating, unless I stand corrected, Isaac and Liz and also Lance, in terms of we are expected to get those financials by the 15th of October. That's the undertaking that we got from the municipality. We are looking at the operational measures that have contributed to the delay in terms of the submission of the final financial statement. So that is the issue in terms of the submission of the 18-19 financial year. What we've done is the provincial treasury is also preparing the municipalities in terms of the 18-19 audit process was to have, for the issue of reviewing of the annual financial statement, was to have a provincial workshop whereby we invited all of the municipal assurance providers so that they could be prepared for all of the issues that are coming relating to the issues of audit, legal prescripts, and also to look at the combined assurance issues within the FEM environment. That provincial workshop was held on the 20th of June. We also extended an invitation to all of the municipalities to submit their annual financial statements for review before they get submitted to the Auditor General for the AG to conduct its report to those of the municipalities that were invited and submitted their annual financial statements. Fortunately, for the 17-18 financial year, because we started with this in terms of this slide, we didn't receive any disclaimer or adverse opinion from the Western Cape Province municipalities when it comes to 17-18 financial years audits. Now, as I said from the issue of the introduction, one of the key issues, honorable members, that we've since identified together with local government and also AG was that the issue of unorganized regular focus and wasteful expenditure leading up to consequent management. And Mr. Ockham has already said it's one of the major contributors in terms of the outcomes that have been addressed for the previous financial year. Now, the items that are listed in terms of the slide that is in front of you are the items which we as professional treasurer have zoned in terms of trying or utilizing in terms of assisting the municipalities. One of the key items that I just want to allude to is the issue of strategic integrated municipal engagement, which we run as provincial treasurer together with local government, whereby we engage on the strategic level with municipalities in order to talk to the issue of having the integrated work plan as to how we could assist the municipalities, whereby in this engagement we also identify solutions that are going to be utilized to assist the municipalities. Those are preceded by what we call a technical integrated municipal engagement, whereby we go and dig down to the issues that are technical of nature. After we find those issues that are technical in nature, and then we send them to the strategic integrated municipal engagement if they cannot be resolved, but we resolve most of the items under the technical integrated municipal engagement, which we also do in conjunction with our colleagues. What we've since done also this year was to during the SEL forum that we had in March 2019, provide a platform for municipal CFOs and also the SEL managers to engage with the Auditor General in terms of the SEL interpretation of issues that are raised by the AG. That is one of the issues that we also engage with the CFOs and also the SEM manager. We also went through the process of having in-year monitoring engagements that we do ad hoc, and others are also done on a consistent monthly basis, whereby having addressed by provincial treasury and also us as local government. We also conducted municipal audit readiness, which were done in July 2019. That is the slide one that is talking to the issue of the how do we assist the municipalities in addressing the development communication. That is another list of the issues that we've done. I think it has spoken to the training which we have provided across all of the districts relating to the MPEG. I just want to talk to that one in those slides. Those are the trainings that we rolled out so that they could assist with the understanding of all of the issues that are raised by AG in terms of the outcomes that were tabled by AG. Also, we, together with local government, we have developed a single support plan for all of the municipalities within our province. We've also went to the level of developing a procurement toolkit to assist and support municipalities with procurement planning and implementation as identified. But that toolkit is also going to be completed by March 2020. Now, the last slide that is talking to how we've addressed the investment from you from our side was what we are rolling out on an annual basis via our service provider. We've got a bespoke accredited training, whereby that training is rolled out either on a district or we select a venue whereby it's going to be convenient for all of our municipalities to attend to. The SSRF, that training is supposed to address those following items that you see. That is, one training is done or rolled out to address the issues of public sector governance and assurance function. The other one is rolled out to address issues such as the supply chain and asset management issues. The other one is rolled out to assist the municipalities with the items of revenue, expenditure, and cash management. The other one is also rolled out to assist municipalities with the understanding of key development objectives. And then the last one, which we will roll out on an annual basis, is that one which assists municipalities with items that are relating to financial reporting. We've got other tools that we utilize as the project in terms of assisting the municipalities, that of rolling out the financial management support plan, which provides financial assistance to municipalities to improve with overall financial governance. We've also got what we call the financial management capacity building grant, which is there to provide financial assistance to municipalities to build in terms of the skills, expertise which we alluded to from the opening slide. We also have got engagements that we continue are still rolling out with the Licensed National Treasury and also Auditor General, whereby we are seeking ways in finding the issues of alternative dispute resolution so that we can be able to talk to them and see how we can assist. That has been run in our provincial accounting general, in conjunction with the national accounting general. Those honorable members, through your chairperson, are the items that we as provincial treasurer have brought out and are currently busy in rolling out for the outer years so that they could be able to assist the municipalities addressing the issues of water and WO that have been raised by the auditor general. Now, one of the major contributing departments within us that is also assisting a lot is that of supply chain management. As you have seen from what Mr. Ogas has also presented in front of us, that most of these items are also contributed by the supply chain management issues for items that are raised. What our supply chain management unit has already done so far so that we can be able to assist the municipalities was to engage with MT and also the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer in terms of the audit outcomes, the issue. issues that have been raised in terms of saying how do we address all of these outcomes in terms of accessing the municipalities. From our side, we've already engaged with OEG and OCPO. The other issue is that the supply chain management that has done very good in that sense was to roll out the combined national inspection on a district level, so that we can also to talk to our joint district approach. Those national inspections have already been rolled out for those dates that have been created for them to come up with the internal processes, the risk management officials, the BID committee members, the line managers, and also the SLM officials. So that is why I wanted to be able to say that, look, these are the ones that have already rolled out so that they could be able to assist the municipalities for the outer years. Key risk that has been identified was that special attention is given to higher risk SEL areas and the areas that I've mentioned above in terms of the building committees and all of those things. Those are the items that are affecting the audit outcomes, the SEL regulations in terms of interpretation of regulation 32 specifically, the issue of local content which is affecting the municipalities big time. Those are the items that are taken note of, and SEL is linked to the point that those items are addressed in terms of time. I spoke to the issue of the affected training from the previous slide, which were rolled out at the Treasury and speak in all of those units that I spoke to. These are other items which the SEL has rolled out in terms of assessing the municipality. There was a workshop which took place on the 1st and the 2nd of August, which was the high development workshop. And then we are looking forward to our LDSN in Java, which we intend to invite all of the departments and the municipalities that we are anticipating to do on the 14th and to the 15th of November, whereby we need to do and assist and talk about the issues that are also affecting the SEL challenges. One of the key causes that our SEM usually does, if the municipality has got challenges within the understanding of doing the SEM issues, we go out to municipalities and do what we call a short cycle assessment of the SEM processes that are within the municipality, whereby we will identify from A to Z what are the issues and then give the report to the municipality. It's fine with our NGOP in terms of seeing authority to change, so that we can say that these are the issues that are challenging within the municipality. If you don't look out for these issues, you're still going to get SEM related issues. For now, there are two municipalities that we have done that as provincial treasurer, that of Tierra de Scope and Nanabet. The others are still going to follow and ask the request that we're receiving from the municipalities. There are other training sessions that the SM unit is going to do so that we can be able to assist the municipalities relating to the issue of SM. Now, I spoke to most of the issues that are within this slide in terms of the SM. These are the issues that you are handling in terms of the forums and all of the issues that are going to be handled by our unit. I spoke to the meetings that we are intending to roll out, and other assessments that will be done, and that's going to be the last one. We are anticipating to roll out the one from Canada within those dates, and the others from Africa. The BBBE workshop that is going to be rolled out by us, and also the other departments. The other bespoke training that are going to talk to all of the departments also going to be rolled out. And we're going to engage in all of the distributed items that is impacting a lot. That is the idea of local content. In terms of the municipalities that and the development that we need to address, we also address them so that we can be able to address the issues that have been raised in terms of the AG outcomes. One of the other units that we work with within the provincial treasury is that of improving the financial governance within the municipalities. What we usually do is to address issues that are being raised via financial management capability management model. This is the assessment tool which we roll out to municipalities, whereby municipalities do a self-assessment, and then after they've done the self-assessment, you then engage with them and provincial treasurer and also local government via what we call the time issue, that are the time session which are alluded to, and then we look at all of the items that are coming from that assessment, so that we can move with the financial government challenges within the municipality. That is the process I will not talk further, just individually, to the issue that we've brought up when we will be out of African municipalities in addressing the issues of public finance. But key is the issue that we've raised, that of municipalities facing financial sustainability challenges. From our assessment currently, we've got municipalities that we've identified as having liquidity risks, as informed by the initial analysis. Remember, these are the assessments that we do, but the way that we address these is to engage with the municipalities and give them advice in terms of how do we see it as provincial choice and that they must address all of those sustainability or liquidity risks that we're faced with. Those are the municipalities which we've identified from our current reporting. Let me say that also that those ratios are impacted by the reporting figure. So from our assessment, the provincial trade and those are the municipalities which we've identified in terms of having liquidity risks. I think your position that is came from the provincial trade and perspective, that is the issue of the joint strategic approach, which we are following together with the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Presentation, I think it complemented to the first, to the second one. I'm going to give this for this to digest. I'm sure that I've made necessary notes along the way. And I'm going to recognize Honorable Tiku, and then Honorable Honorable Sister, and Dr. Sister. Take the time for questions, and then you could. I'm not going to speak to you when you need to how to address the question. You address the question to whoever, the owners or treasury or the department, and if you start to it, I'm sure that was fine. That's a good person to respond to your particular question. So you want to take it?
Millions now that is really increasing, this is shocking. Are we trying fearful to attend the class while he knows that he's supposed to do what he's supposed to do, or are we going to say that to the child system or say that no, it's okay, as long as we keep this form?
Okay, thank you, supply chain management officers to comply with all the regulations, and remember it's not only supply chain, it also deals with the filling of crucial posts where quite often crucial positions are vacant for 9 months and so on. And my question is just, what are you doing to make it easier for municipalities, cheaper for municipalities, to comply? My third question is, it seems to me as if the Auditor General and 10 out of 10 for them, that you are able to pick up a number of non-compliance issues such as, for example, family relationships with suppliers and so on. My question is, how come you are able to identify such instances? But it seems to me as if either the municipality is not is unaware of these non-compliance issues, or they feel they, you know, would get by and wouldn't be identified, etc. The third one is, it's clear to me, and you've also identified it in some of these presentations as a core problem, that we are not attracting staff with the necessary skills to local government. And surely we must do something about it. It's always, well, you come from outside, but the first prize for me is for the organization itself to be able to maintain standards and to have the necessary skills, etc. Why do you believe that our local governments are not attracting the people with the necessary skills? Because my impression is that the remuneration levels at local government level have gone up considerably, and to the extent that in a sense, again, it becomes very costly for our local governments. And then last, Chair, when I was a councillor, that's some 20 years ago when I first became a councillor, that was the time when the Structures Act and the Systems Act were introduced. And our municipal managers came to us as councils and said, listen, we are now accountable and we can be a person
officially accountable in certain for certain actions here in the municipality. And because there is such a high risk, because we are will now only be appointed for periods of 5 years, as to, you know, the old city clerks or town clerks that we used to have, we expect of you to remunerate us considerably better than what the old town clerks were remunerated, because now suddenly we're exposed, we run risks. And my question is, if you look at these pictures, and in some cases it seems to me as if it's quite severe non-compliance, have any municipal manager in the Western Cape, or has anyone been held accountable to the extent that the law apparently allows for them to account for failures in the administration of those newspapers? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, I don't know what that has to say.
I don't understand, but I want to hear from you. What is the meaning of that? Then, Chair,
certainly not going to stop the question. You can rest assured. Just advise us to have 20 questions that we can answer immediately. So, I mean, I'll probably be able to answer those questions. So, don't worry.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning, sir. Chair, let me also welcome the presentations from the department side and also from the manager. Team, there's an improvement in terms of submissions. Last financial year, 2017, all the kind of under management did not submit. And the report that you received now was presentation to the only candidate that they have not submitted the financial statements for the 18-19. So it's important. Chair, I just want to check with you, because if you look over the 30 financial, first in 16 and now 2018. And as what you said, that I know, college, there's a downward trend. 77% in first position and now 40%. And a pushback that's there for municipalities. I just want to check with AG, because in 2015-16, we haven't had such a pushback, because 70% of municipalities receive a clean water. It's certainly when there's a decrease in clean waters, which is 40% now, 12 municipalities, there is this pushback. We just need to check the rules of quality, whether they have changed, because the issue of interpretation is also there. Where they are questioning the AG's interpretation of quality. Whether the same rules in 2015 have applied, they're the ones that apply now. Whether it's the same, what it says for this and the booster. Also, check is. And I'm not sure whether it's one of the reasons, and the Honourable asked the question, why is it possible for the AG to identify some of those beneficiaries within municipalities, close family members and so on, of both councillors and officials, and whether that's the reason for the pushback, because family members are benefiting. I'm not sure, Chair. Maybe someone can answer. Also, Chair, and we are glad to hear the support from the local government because giving support to municipalities. But I just want to check, because the issue of pushback is a major issue. The legal support that we're giving to municipalities, legal opinions, doesn't include pushback. Does it include pushback? The legal opinion that we are giving to municipalities? Because we are saying that although you are giving support to municipalities, they are the ones that set the tone, both with tourism and especially in municipalities. They are setting the tone. And it might be that they will resist even some of the answers you try to give them. But also, in giving the support to the municipalities, how do you convince municipalities to implement the recommendations of the president when one of your own departments of agriculture is pushing back against the other outcome, agriculture? How are you going to convince municipalities to accept the other outcome and to implement the remedial action that has been recommended by the president? And one of our own departments is pushing back. I think the matter will be in court soon. How? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohara. First to do with clarity before allowing the resource center to part of the part. Is that what you regarded as pushback? I initially had the impression that when you speak about pushback and you were addressing a question to Mr. August, is that you referenced this frame to the amendment of the Auditing Act in terms of providing additional power to the AG's office to act against errands or malfeasance or corruption or what is often termed as occurrences of material irregularity. But towards the end of your question, I get the impression that your reference to pushback was resistance of municipalities to accept what is finding. Let's provide a clarity, please.
See, I'm not so very confident when the AG's office done their presentation. And in their presentation, they have made it clear that there's some pushback from municipalities in terms of the interpretation. So it doesn't matter in terms of that, whether the rules have changed and the sudden pushback from them, and whether the pushback was there even in 2016, 2018. I think probably 2016 when the majority of the municipalities in the office. Whether it was then or even the sudden.
Thank you,
Uncle
understand that.
Chairperson, I'm glad to listen. I'm going to ask you that, and then also the question to visit. And I will give some of the responses if you wish. Just in relation to the supply chain and the procurement.
Maybe I'll touch on the supply chain management issues that you highlighted, but I think it's also important that you provide a little bit of context in terms of those 3 years that have been indicated. You will see, particularly the last year, the green flash. And as you can, and what the AGF also communicated, where the decline comes from, in terms of financial statements and particularly the quality, what we need to understand over the last year or two. That the ESCO format has a major impact on municipalities. So in a way, we expected, because of the big trend, that there might be deterioration in some of the audit findings. So that's the one issue. The second issue is the supply chain. And we recently attended the supply chain with the national president and with also the AG was present. One of the biggest problems in the supply chain environment is the number of rules and the regulations and even the inconsistency between the rules and the regulations, which also put the AG in a difficult position to express the viewpoint on some of these regulations, and that's where the interpretation comes from. So what we will see over the last year, there was a particular emphasis on supply chain management for good reasons in terms of the production that was happening, non-compliance generally. So from an AG perspective and from a national safety perspective, there was a huge focus on supply chain. So what happened in that particular environment is that also some of the interpretation problems came to bear. And where in some cases the pushback, it was on some of the supply chain issues where there was particular findings and particular rules applied, and afterwards the municipalities felt that the same rules were not applied, and that is where some of the pushback came from the municipalities. So just to put that particular issue in context. But the supply chain management is basically the big market in the whole audit environment, and it's not only the way that you'll see experience right through the country. In terms of the provincial treasury response, the provincial treasury have always responded in a particular way. Because of the audit findings, we just heightened our interventions on those issues. We always get assessments in municipalities, feedback, Twitter, that continuous Twitter that we have with the Green Department. So for the last 10 years, we have a particular term together with the Department of Local Government. Of course, as a result of the sharp decline in the audit outcome, we had to heighten our approach to some of the issues, which you will see that most of those issues happen in supply chain in the number of sessions that we conducted. In fact, the first session we actually had, these were the agencies, so that we can communicate with the CFOs and the supply chain managers. In terms of the severity of these findings happening again, hence you will see a lot of those plans that we put in place, and hopefully that will have a positive impact in terms of the current audit cycle. Just to place that in context, because although there has been that some decline, it came from two areas. We believe it is because of the NSCOA focus, and it also in terms of supply chain reforms that have been introduced by National Service over the last couple of years, just to put those things into context. I'm just going to ask Melissa to talk about the capacity building, and maybe let's on to the use of consultants. I'm not sure whether that will address your issue fully, but I think we just need to talk about capacity building in school as far as finding this concern.
Thank you, Mr. The proactive approach and that contribution from our members from the statement. So as we see in the presentation, the focus is on good governance and how this actually translates into service delivery and making a positive impact in the lives of citizens. And to improve governance, we've identified three key drivers. One of those drivers is integrated capacitation and development. And we do focus on building the skills pipeline. So the question was then in terms of how do we address the challenge faced by municipalities in attracting the necessary skills. So there are support initiatives in terms of external bursary programs to municipalities, which focuses on bursary providers to learners within municipal areas in terms of the financial management focus areas. Also looking at the effective implementation of an internship program in terms of the financial management area, and then focusing on the development of competencies and skills of existing officials within the municipal environment. So we offer targeted training programs that obviously have been developed by the municipal treasury, and we spoke about that in this presentation. And very importantly, also the post-training intervention that provincial species identify. Another key driver is looking at good governance and the maturity model, and that also informs us in terms of where we need to focus the capacity building initiative. So as observed from the presentation, a key focus at the moment is supply chain management, also looking at support during the audit in terms of the ASX submission and assisting in studies in terms of the comments as well. And very importantly, it is an integrated approach. So we look at how do we actually utilize the external stakeholders like our partners in terms of the Department of Local Government, National Treasury, other tertiary institutions as well as professional bodies, just to improve the effectiveness and efficiency in terms of the delivering of the support programs.
Just in addition, all the issues of supply chain management as spoken together with the municipality, we developed a decision paper which we actually sent to the National Treasury, and some of the issues that we raised that could become problematic. So the National Treasury is currently looking at that, and they indicated that they will soon come back to us on some of those supply chain issues. We believe that the National Treasury needs to correct, because if they don't correct it, of course, some of these supply chain issues will develop. But there's continuous investment of the Office of the Chief Procurement Office on the supply chain.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Mr. Chairperson, this perhaps addresses a certain thing with the advancement of the entire view of the pushback. I think fundamentally, as he has indicated, that there were pushback is not necessarily out of respect, I think, to the order in general, it's fundamentally on the interpretation of the laws, rules and regulations. So the order in general is just orders on the rules and regulations that are national to determine. So you've heard others who said that they are engaged in national territory around the rules and the regulations relative to the supply chain requirements, the rules and regulations. So it is about the interpretation. So when the auditor general actually applies an interpretation based on the national various rules and regulations and policies, it might be that the municipality say, but we don't concur with your interpretation of the same rules and regulations and so on. And then it's almost not an acceptance of the interpretation of the laws and regulations on the account of the auditor general. And in certain cases, which has happened in this province, the municipality wished to get the court to get a proper interpretation on that rules and regulations of the national interpreter and so on. And it's not about out of disrespect, but it's about getting an understanding of what is the correct interpretation and the application thereof and so on. So, Chairperson, you will also see that on a year and year basis, obviously the Auditor General actually increases its scope, amends its scope in relation to what we wish to audit and so on. So last week, I have met with the business executive of the Auditor General in the province, Saron Adams, and he's talking about the scope in relation to supply chain for the 18-19 financial year of the municipalities and so on. And is, again, that the scope will be increased or otherwise changed to focus on additional participation to the auditor, intervention to the audit of 1890. And in this respect, on some of the issues raised, I think just on the capacity of skilled staff and of CFOs in municipalities and so on, there is a due diligence process, and as the department, the minister actually exercises oversight over the appointment. To what extent the CFO actually meets the requirements, skills, and confidence for that particular post. And Chairperson, we are on record that they have otherwise requested the municipality or otherwise, when there's resistance to do so, approach a court of law to set that appointment of a CFO that's not adequately confident, skilled, and meet the requirements in our view set aside. And the court has actually ruled in favor of the minister in that regard to put. So it is about actually having the correct skills, competence, and so on. Because at times municipalities want to actually employ people which are not necessarily competent, skilled, and have required the requisite skills and competence. It's extremely difficult to attract appropriate skilled and competent staff given the salary levels. Between senior management and supervision and senior managers and staff in the municipality with executive directors, the salaries of executive directors and the municipal manager is now regulated. But the salaries of the staff and the supervisors are not necessarily regulated, no doubt. So you find that the salaries between directors, senior management, managers in the municipality are so close. Some of the managers actually exceed the directors. So they don't want to apply for the job. They don't want to accept that responsibility. Why must they accept that responsibility for less money? And we are quite frankly in local government, not only in this province, in the entire country, struggling to get competent, skilled, and appropriately qualified staff members, not only CFOs, engineers, directors, corporate, and so on, to get them in municipalities because they don't want to work for that amount of accountability and responsibility for that government. We have a continuous fight, and municipalities have a continuous fight with us as a provincial department of local government about the remuneration levels. They are arguing that they need to pay far more than what they're paying. And the previous Minister for Local Government, Mr. Pravin Gordhan, had set thresholds for salaries.
And municipalities are unhappy about their thresholds. And so we are struggling to get confidence staff in municipalities in relation to that. We have seen now that certain CEOs and certain political actors have resigned. Just yesterday the minister spoke to me and said, can't deny how. It implies, Shepherd, that we in this province must deploy some of the provincial staff to be here to go half of the municipalities until such time we can have appropriate skilled and competent staff in those municipalities. It is a struggle. I meet with my counterparts on a national level, the other 8 HODs responsible for local government, on a quarterly basis. And we just had a meeting on Friday in Limpopo, and where this was also explained, because we deal with some of the challenges across the borders of the province within this country. And I thought that this was to raise that point. We can't maintain the wage bill in municipalities. The wage bill is running away with us. In certain cases, the wage bill, particularly in the smaller municipalities, is in excess of 50%, 60%, 70%, which not allow the discretion around the spending on capital projects and other operational requirements. And it is a problem at the moment for us. I think Honourable Chairperson Isaac has explained that a combination of factors has saw actually the regression. And obviously our question is about the scope of the aging, it's about scope, the implementation of scope, and the supply chain management reforms that have been implemented over the last while. It doesn't suggest that if there is audit findings and there's disclaimers or there is qualified evidence that equates to fraud, corruption and other misses. It doesn't. Within this province, we do investigate allegations of fraud, corruption and maladministration by means of our own investigations, and that forensic facility capacity sits within the department, and we go and do and ask to do those things. But besides that, through whistleblowing, they will bring it to the attention of the minister will ask the Department of Local Government to go and investigate it. And even, Honourable Chairperson and members, municipalities that had clean audits over the law are currently being investigated for corruption and administration. We pick up the allegations of the fraud and corruption in that administration, and they have to have clear audits. And obviously, the auditor generally does not pick it up because they're not skilled in the area of forensics and so on. They are skilled in the areas of annual financial statements and videos and looking at stuff and so on. So it is important that we, together with the provincial tertiary, work in concert with the AG to see to what extent we can do this. Perhaps Chairperson, the last point. I think the provincial treasury, together with us, we do extensive work in municipalities. Extensive. And the question that, as I'm sitting here and as the presentations were delivered this morning, is a question: if we have all the support, why is it installed the way that it is? And it is about leadership. It's fundamentally about leadership, and that's why we're also changing our focus in terms of our training. We have trained councillors extensively on the governance methods, but we also see how to apply the rules and regulations, but also about the roles and responsibility of council. But we still see the allegations that we get in terms of the whistleblowers and so on, that councillors are alleged to be involved in supply chain methods, about the underground stuff and so on, then we need to investigate. We have therefore changed our approach in terms of the training and said we must begin to talk about our personal benefits. How do we say that it's not okay to influence the supply chain management process in the municipality? It's not okay to influence the appointment in the municipality and so on. So our focus is fundamental on that. On the side, we're also training the administration, giving lots of support in relation to that, but I'm just Chairperson, I think that's a collective between ourselves, Salga, also the provincial president, and the auditor general. We all need to work together
to deal and to improve the order outcomes in the municipality. It is about implementing key controls in the municipality. And when you see that it is failure or non-compliance, it's about key control decisions. It's not necessarily about fraud, corruption, at the administration in municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Olga, can I address another question?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I would like to speak to some of the questions that the members have asked. The first one was the question around whether the rules of auditing have changed and around the pushback method. And the answer is no, the rules of auditing hasn't changed in our view. It's still the same, it's been the same for quite a number of years now. However, what sometimes changed from the Auditor General perspective and the HOD is wanted to drive up the overscale that the Auditor General looks at. But many of the things that is there that we audit against when we talk about compliance issues, supply chain management, and so on, the financial reporting framework. If I talk just about the compliance measures, as has been stagnant, you know, for quite some time, supply chain management regulations have been around for a number of years. Maybe the focus areas that the Auditor General looks at, maybe changes a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's not major changes that we do on a yearly basis. So the rules applicable to municipalities haven't changed significantly in the area of supply chain management. It is interpretation issues, according to us. Yes, there are interpretation issues. For example, if you look at deviation, it is something that is in the discretion of the accounting officer to follow, to sign up for deviation. But sometimes, when an objective person looks at that discretion exercised by the accounting officer, then it doesn't read into what is reasonably justifiable in terms of that regulation. So those are the kinds of things that comes out in the process and then becomes an interpretative issue. And as part of our reporting, what we do as an audit office, we actually forewarn municipalities in our management reports about these issues and through emerging risks that we highlight in municipalities where we do perform our audits. We identify the municipality that these are the issues that we see coming up that is a risk to your processes that you are following. Examples might be deviations from the supply chain management process, the implementation of the municipal SCOA framework, the new GRAP standard that might become applicable. Thus, we actually include in our management report well in advance before we again engage municipalities on these issues. And so it is a challenge, and the pushback that we get from municipalities is basically when municipalities receive a clean audit outcome, and a clean audit outcome is under threat of being lost through the fines that the Auditor General raises, then the pushback increases. And then the pushback is always there, it's part of the audit process. Municipalities are, by all means, they can question and they can interrogate the findings that the Auditor General do raise. But if it's findings that is, clear cut findings, for example, you haven't submitted your financial statements by the 31st of the legislative deadline, there's no arguing about that. And that's the kind of things where sometimes you get pushbacks, from municipalities where we even have clear cut application of legislation that has been transmitted. When it comes to issues, yes, we expect that we're going to receive pushback, like for example the deviation from supply chain management processes. There is discretion in that. But when it's clear cut, we're not expecting that amount of pushback from municipalities when it comes to those. So the pushback increases when municipalities stand to lose their people.
services. That's basically what it was. That increases substantially. And you'll see in the last year, it moved to 40%. That is the last year we received substantial feedback from a number of municipalities about, you know, issues of legislation and so on because of the regulation in COVID times. So that's just the one method that I wanted to highlight. In terms of a close family member, that is not a not allowable issue. Now, municipalities, they can transact, they can disclose many family members, but a declaration. So in other words, when the adjudication committee does the adjudication of that place, they need to be aware, it needs to be transparent to say, member, Councillor X's brother or Councillor X's daughter is the owner of this business. That's we are dealing with. All members need to know that. And the key comes into the declaration, making that declaration that there is a family member or a councillor or official involved in the status. And that is where the challenge lies for some of these municipalities. That declaration process does not happen. And in that case, the municipality is supposed to act against it. Through various means that we can do, and to where there needs to be disciplinary action taken, that disciplinary action needs to be taken against either the official or whatever the case may be. But there needs to be action around that false declaration that needs to be made, or no declaration that needs to be made. But it's not that it cannot, that members cannot, or family members cannot, contact. I just wanted to see if there's any, in terms of the consultants, what we've noticed with the consultants is that in the Western Cape, you will find, consultants at many of the municipalities, and most of the time, similar consultants. In other words, the one consultant will help this municipality, will help the other, or it will be consortiums of consultants. In other words, maybe one or two consultants comes together and they will assist municipalities in certain areas where, for example, maybe consultants some consultants have a rich year and the municipality is closer to the Western Cape, others might have a rich further in the hidden district or in the central rural or that municipality. But it's similar consultants and similar consortiums of consultants that we do find around the municipalities. I think that is all from my side that I wanted to, unless I've missed something.
Thank you, had the questions adequately addressed. If not, then I will allow you to just to raise that which is quite good thing. Opportunity to ask all of those questions. and then undergo the process thereafter. And last year, on the round.
Thank you, Chair. So I just wanted to elaborate on the consultant issue and the circular that I referred to that was issued. It was specifically issued because municipalities are over dependent on consultants. That's the one that I set up parties as consultants. The money spent on consultant fees versus the capacity, internal capacity in the capacity that you can build. And this is the specific scope to that issue. Rather capacity to start internally and then depending on and if you look at the consultant, the municipality that uses these consultants is affecting the property of the municipality in terms of the statement of all those things. So that's the comment I want to make. I'll leave the others check.
Thanks, Thank you, Chair.
I'm not sure if I heard the response to my question regarding the accountability of government school managers and whether some of them have been held accountable, and now I'm not really referring to formal disciplinary procedures and, you know, the determination of contracts and things like that. But to what extent is there scope to hold government school managers accountable for some of the findings in the Auditor General's report seem to be quite serious in my book. To what extent have there been actions to hold people accountable in their personal capacity, as was claimed when the current legislation was introduced some 2 years ago? Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chair.
Thanks for the answers to some of the questions that you asked. Chair, again on the issue of clean water versus qualified, unqualified. And I listened to the response from the AG in terms of whether the rule has changed. And a caliper, or one of the calipers, which is in scope. Chair. Is there any topic out there? I'm not interested in the fight between municipalities and the region. What they want is service in the way in compliance. Now, the same municipalities, if you look for instance in 2016-2017, the gentleman on the other side has said that the last 2 months, yes. Although this score was fully implemented 1st July 2017, it was there even the year before, and received clean orders in 2016-2017, and the same rules. And now that we have failed to receive a clean order, they are pushing back. 12 municipalities have received a clean order and they are sure. 12. Meaning, why is it possible for other municipalities to comply in terms of the score? Are we then saying, and can we foresee, comes 2018, 2019, when some of those who receive clean orders now, the 12, when they are afraid to receive a clean order, they will now, they will then contest the rules that have been applied. It seems when it comes to clean order, the municipalities receiving a clean order, they are fine, even when it's over. But when the table is turned, where you were seeing what the king ordered. It's only then that you are contesting the rules, even including Israel.
So from our side, you will want to see an issue with the provincial department
and the assistance that they are giving to municipalities is to comply. We are seeing now the there will be expansion of the mandate of the AG when it comes to the PAA to give them more powers. And seems now we can foresee that there will be more problems that's coming when the president signed off on that piece of legislation. So it's not a question, it's just an issue of compliance. Because some is compliant under the same rules, and others are not complying, and therefore they have this issue. So yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Varan. Just a comment from my side is that in 8 other provinces, we only had 6 green orders. And in 1 province, as you correctly alluded to, we had 12 green orders. So one needs to be balanced in your comments.
That's not going to call it so. You see, I'm not staying in East Cape.
That's sure.
Nor am I staying in the Northern Cape. This is the West Cape. Because if you have this type of response here, then you will say it's fine to commit these. That's not calling crimes. No, we are saying it's fine if we have these type of issues, as long as it's better than other
provinces.
The communities and the people of the West Cape are not interested about what's happening in other provinces. They want this government to deliver the promises they have made to them. Let's not speak about other provinces.
Thanks a lot. We need to be balanced and responsible. The question that I'd like to ask Mr. saying about the deviations, often municipal managers are
Thank you, Chair. I think that for your comments, if we had the number of municipal information that came to the city, you are allowed to make that comment. We have to do that across South Africa. The public has the right to take any
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Dr. Chair. I'm going to get to another question. It's the deviation that often your response you were saying about municipal managers and signs often deviations. And often deviations are taken to council. And council agree to deviations and then lead on the municipal managers to sign off. But as the department has indicated in their presentation and their responses, is that indeed municipalities one certainly do have that kind of challenge where the municipal mayor is often more powerful in terms of the influence he exercises in that municipality as the municipal manager. And that brings us to the whole question of leadership. And I'm in terms of the presentation, I'm very pleased and satisfied about the measures that the department has put in place and the enormous effort the department is sort of expending in terms of capacitating our councillors. And often, sometimes leadership of municipalities, be municipalities in particular, often in training and in some meetings and in their jobs. But that aside, it pleases me and I'm excited about the entrance to the Public Relations Act in terms of accountability. My question in terms of materiality, and materiality has been
organization of consisting of quite a number of elements. And there's lots of O's and O's and O's. So if one of those elements are present, then that particular expenditure would then be classified as material error. A combination of those elements would be considered to be classified as material in terms of the statements that you've been presented to. And then we were at the municipality a week ago, and that particular municipality and they previously got a clean audit, they got a audit with findings now. And upon interrogation, we were told that the reason why they did not receive a clean audit and had irregular expenditure incurred of 22.7 million rand, whatever it is, was that the result of the submission of their financial statements. The following day, instead of yesterday, it was submitted the following day. And that resulted in them losing that pre-order status. And you were saying in terms of compliance, one is to comply with the 31st of August, then it has to be the 31st of August and not the 1st of November. Then, another question I would like to ask. In terms of, very often, and this 22.3 million rand has been classified as irregular expenditure. That's a result of lack of local contents. Now the nuts and bolts they use for that particular project, they couldn't source locally and they had to get it from China. And that is not so the local content occurs. You know, often in terms of when it comes to non-compliance, so I think there would be, I don't know, the training is provided by the departments, but in certain locations and areas, it may not always be that particular capability provided local content. And that will, to a certain degree, influence the outcome if that particular contract or that script is being audited. And the other thing, this all the time now, too, we have closed the subsequent financial year. Are you busy auditing? Are you in the process of compiling your reports, etc.? What should we have raised expectations, or should we? Maybe confronted with a more serious scenario than the one sketched by Honorable Nora. And the last comment, and then you raised it in your presentation, and often all sources mentioned. In our discussion and committee. Something
lack of consequences. Consequences both for culturalist politicians, because often politicians are, you know, complicit in enabling officials to act in an improper way. So when we speak about consequences, now I'm fully alive to the fact that the concept of consequences are not specifically directed at officials, but also at politicians. And as officials in leadership position, municipal managers have the short duration of their permanent contract, which is 5 years, and the uncertainty that it creates. And often they agree, reluctantly to sign up and close their eyes or don't want to disclose. But political parties also don't act with speed and with the necessary eagerness to deal with these errant councillors who pressure officials unduly to benefit their family and friends or their or themselves. And that's the other stuff.
Yes, Honourable Smith. Right. Sorry, ma'am. I asked the question specifically on the scandals in the application.
Thank you, Honourable
Smith. Chair, can the ministers repeat the question about the 10 motion?
I think that the telepath question is more appropriate to Mr. Paulson than to the AG, but it needs to be responded to, yeah, for sure. Can you repeat it?
No, it was stated in the report that there was illegal experiment that in the investigation was done. So my question was, what next? What is the effect of that in terms of your report? I don't know.
Jefferson, allow me to respond to a couple of questions that I'm going to ask Ashley, and obviously the provincial treasury perhaps offer some also response. I wish to deal with the old question of about, and I haven't answered that, in the cost of compliance. In our IJO allegations with the municipalities, they just assume there is concerns around the cost of compliance. Some are arguing this discourse is at the cost of service delivery. And others say it's at the cost of innovation of municipalities and so on. So when we engage municipalities, we'll say that we now need to appoint additional staff just to ensure that they comply with certain rules and regulations, that we submit the reports and so on. And it is a concern for us, the increasing pressure on municipalities in relation to compliance. And as I say, they argue that at times it comes at a cost of service delivery in effect. And these are the rules that sort of necessary to the bottoms of my views, and it detracts the attention from service delivery and so on. And some municipalities have made calculations on the cost of compliance within municipalities, and it is exorbitant in our view. This on the pushback, the municipalities have now raised concern with us that notwithstanding there is a mechanism within the Auditor General for escalation. When there is a difference of opinion, the Auditor General has a process of escalation that elevates the matter. Municipalities have actually come to us and asked, can't we consider the establishment of an ombudsman for the Auditor General? And to deal with these differences, when there is differences on interpretation and so on, and it's something that we don't necessarily support, but that's the extent to which municipalities are not considering to deal with some of the difference on interpretation to the Hegel establish what we call, or they call, the ombudsman, the audit ombudsman to deal with the differences. Jefferson says on the accountability and so on. I think there has been limited people how responsible in municipalities around the key control deficiencies or the findings of the auditor general and so on. Whether those are councillors or whether those are senior officials. Obviously the act has now been amended so that there is certificate can now be issued in your personal name, whether you're the accounting officer and so on. And I think that will fundamentally change the way in which accountability and consequence management is being adopted in municipality. But as far as we're concerned, there is limited consequence management, and there's limited cases where either senior officials or senior managers or councillors have been held responsible or accountable in municipalities for the ostensible, what we call, findings, or otherwise the key control deficiencies in municipalities. I think what I want to ask perhaps Ashley and then the Jess will just respond to some of the balance of the questions. Maybe just
without coming out, this gets to be the first one in short. Say that all the classes managing the clean order. And that is fair. The issue is that different municipalities use different accounting systems. Now the MCO reform with those different accounting systems, they were not all alike in the involvement to the MCO regulation. So there were different levels of involvement when it came to taking on the new system, taking on the new MCO regulation. And it was seen as a dire consequence of that some systems providers were not able to deliver to the MCO requirements when it came to delivering financial statements. So that being said, we engaged with those specific members, and as a consequence, we can say that the chairman raised the issue about what the expectations are. As a direct consequence of the late submission, there was only one late submission, and that wasn't as a consequence of the MCO. So we have engaged and we have seen the improvements with respect to that. Just touching on the other question that was raised about has the scope been increased by the Auditor General? And then the Auditor answered, you know, there'll be slight movement or nothing major. I think what we must also take note of is there's been a lot of latest additions that have come to the fore. So yes, the scope went up increased. But there's new regulations that have come up, there's new circulars, there's new, triple PMMA, BEE, local content, all of those things that have come to the fore. So just the scope has increased, but the legislation has increased. And we see in the application of that, there's new, there's often some teething problems that the municipalities face. Just in response to the Auditor General statement that, you know, when they need a non-compliance, and it's a matter of fact, you know, that municipalities, you know, they should be pushing back, we agree 100%. So when there's a late submission and they haven't submitted by the 31st of August, that is a matter of fact, there is a late submission there, and there should be a pushback. Where the pushback does come, however, is that the Auditor General interprets that as material non-compliance. And the municipality in their opinion says, how can that be material? So in terms of the non-compliance, there is no pushback. In terms of the interpretation of the reality, that's where the pushback is coming from. So those are the issues where we find pushback on those. Thank you.
And it's a and as such, you know, compliance becomes a big issue. So just to yourself and the other members, that's one of the issues that we try with the Western Cape government in terms of, you know, there are rules and regulations, and as far as possible municipalities need to adhere to that, because one of the things that we're driving with the Western Cape government is about good and clean government. So I just want to restate that to the point.
Thank you, thank you, Chair, for allowing me to respond to one thing. Another issue on the materiality you were discussing or you were making comments around it.
Yes, that's correct. You know, in the discussion, add to it in terms of the response now from the latest mission. Yes, it's not compliant. I fully agree with this. But the irregularity in terms of legislation, but the impact of that non-compliance, will it have a detrimental effect on service delivery for that particular firm? And my interpretation is no. And therefore, how can it be classified as material in terms of the particular interpretation?
Okay, Jay, before I... okay, maybe I shouldn't confuse the name. Let me put it in this way. We have a materiality that has we determined auditors. And materiality, when you do perform audits, is an audit of time. That's the first thing I'll So, if we look at compliance with laws and regulations, that is also a point to judge what is material and what is not material. And when it comes to compliance with laws and regulations, that materiality has been predetermined for our purposes at a firm level. What I mean by that has been determined at a national level for the Auditor General to ensure consistency throughout South Africa and in the Malawian report. So if there is a non-compliance, a straightforward non-compliance, I'm not talking about, you know, regulation 36 as an example, but you haven't submitted your financial statements by the 31st of August, 12 o'clock that evening. We don't have records of this. That is a straightforward non-compliance. It's not in terms of the law. So then the auditor has to go back and say, yes, first in the box I haven't received the financial statements according to the legislation. The second thing in the box is, or the second question the court then needs to ask itself in terms of our reporting standards is whether it is material. Now that materiality level, from at the local perspective, that has been predetermined for us at the national level by the Auditor General's office. So if you don't conform as a municipality in submitting your financial statements by the 31st of March, it is a non-compliance. But it also ticks the box for material non-compliance, which has been predetermined in the Auditor General's judgment as a material matter. And there are reasons for that why it's material, or why the Auditor General scopes in certain legislation or certain parts of legislation as material. So it's critical for members to understand that that materiality is the Auditor's judgment. It's not something, you know, that we just grab out of the air. Judgment that's determined by the Auditor General because of the nature of what, why it is that financial statements need to be submitted on a certain particular time for that. It can speak to your internal control personnel function or whatever it might be, but that's just in a nutshell how we got to it. So, and to ensure consistency. Other materiality, the other materiality that we have is material irregularity, but I don't think I want to dwell in that because that is something separate. That's with the new implementation of the legislation. But I was just talking to the other thing on material non-compliance that we are being determined at the firm level. So that was the question around that. I don't think there was any other matters that I had to respond to.
Yes,
the local content one.
Yes, the local content one.
The local content. objectives, also in terms of legislation. The legislation is there that, you know, for certain items to procure by municipalities, they have to adhere to the requirements of the public. I don't mean the advertiser for the they are procuring, or when the bidder or the successful bidder comes in, you must clear that, you know, this product is local content compliant. So we ordered to get on that, and there are specific reasons behind that legislation, why it is that you need to adhere to certain local content. And the thing with local content is also that, as with any other part, if you deviate, or if you went out and nobody responds, or you exhaust all avenues, you as an accounting officer needs to put your reasons and the process that you follow, and to satisfy the auditors to say, I went to the market, I did this, I did that, and I couldn't get to a supplier, if able to supply me a local project, how I can get from the procurement process. And many a times we find that that is not in the force. So that's
the thank you, Mr. Lord. I don't think I'm going to mistake a question that will be adequately responded to.
If we go into details, we are going to stay for a very long time. So the each of the local content, we still have to get the clarity of what that is to be the interpretation of the local content. The AG's interpretation, my interpretation, the other department, and the other department. So if I buy the material overseas and I make the t-shirts here, to understand that product to the local content. So, the interpretation is different. And that is why there is, my question would be, how do we go about to get the AG outcome throughout the financial year? How do we interact so that some of the issues you get to the same interpretation so that at the end you don't say to the municipality, my interpretation is this one, and the municipality says, my interpretation is this one. If you argue that way, which one are you going to take? Who has the right to be say that my interpretation is this one, so I have to be the one that gets recorded and is there and it goes? Because if the instructor say I'm going to go to a legal friend to give you my our interpretation and you come with the AG, just like that we go to the people that are qualified as the AG. Now, where are we? Why? Is not happening that from the onset, this interpretation that as an AG you do year in, year out, you don't give to the municipal department to say that this, the interpretation of this is there. So that from the onset they understand where you come from, or when they have the question before can give the outcome, they can say to you, but why do you say that because our interpretation is of this beforehand? Why is it not happening that at the end is when? When I'm going to be there, the proper about 2 hours discussing the local content, it doesn't really help me, and I'm going to do anything.
Yes, first, I'm going to go on the second, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to wrap up. Give you one more time, and I'm going to go
okay, I'm going to respond to the issue of the auditor's judgment. We all prefer things to be objective and not be subjective. And I do know that in the past, the Auditor General made extensive use of private auditing firms when it came to the auditing of local government financials. And my question is, is it correct? Am I correct? In that in the studies believe that when it's the Auditor General's representatives doing the audit themselves, that the bar is set significantly higher than when in previous times private firms were used for auditing purposes. And then secondly, if that is true, does it mean that we cannot really read anything into things obviously if the bar is moved, we cannot say that this year there were 80% clean audits, now it's 40% clean audits. And then my last question, Chair, you also refer to the ICT support that you are giving municipalities. That is fantastic to hear. But I also do know from personal experience that ICT systems, although we cannot live without them nowadays, sometimes can create havoc as well. And that the different versions of software sometimes new problems might, you know, come in. Sometimes you only discover those problems at financial year-end when certain of those procedures that only run annually are being followed. And my request is just to what extent has the ICT environment at local government level been standardized? Because surely we like competition, we like private sector to become involved in the development of these systems, etc. And therefore, to what extent are you able to then offer technical support if there's a variety of such systems in use in South Africa in local governments? Thank you.
Stella was waiting this morning. I don't know what happened.
Have you had some pleasure of honorary question? One
question for directly to the HUD, because I would like to understand. But how does this say to the gentleman that I've been there? And I listened to the response from the NG in terms of changes. And you said there were some changes, etc. and so forth. But those changes apply to all municipalities, to all, even the ones that have the proceeding longer. Because if you have listened to the response, it seems it must have been across in that that's the reason why some have failed. Those changes apply to all municipalities, not to certain. That's just the necessary consequences. Actually, I just want to check on because I really like to understand why is that particular issue here? The issue of municipalities that have to make the sum. And the price that comes with to comply. The message that you want to bring across, what does it take? Because I don't want to go out here with the wrong understanding that municipalities have made the sum, the cost is too high, therefore it's better not to comply. I don't want to go out with that understanding. I just would like to understand why you said that municipalities have made the sum and comply come with a huge price tag. I'd like to understand that.
Thank you, my last question is in terms of the investments of the Act and the new powers that you have, I think that we all embrace the extra powers that certainly it's going to make a significant difference in how people are going to behave and act, be it mayors or be it municipal managers or CFOs, wherever. What's happened in your presentation is that in the event of you establishing non-compliance as far as the amendment of the Act is concerned and you have a recommendation as to the rectification and the escalator and to a very severe sort of stage. To what extent, if it is in the Western Cape, to what extent do you take treasury of the Western Cape and the department, the local government and the Western Cape along with you in terms of executing that sort of progressive remedial processes that you may recommend. Thank you.
respond to our two questions. I think the first question of the Honourable Chief as well, is around whether to what extent they recover that money. I mean, you made reference to the toilets, I think you know it. We have seen municipalities recently about the road. Money has been exhausted. It's about 3.8 million at the moment, and there's other stuff. But the process of recovering that money, it's a very, very long process to recover that money. Eventually, you do recover the money. Other things you do to withhold future transfers and so on, or discount it, but it's the process to recover that money can take up your company shares and so on. But in relation to the question around Stellenbosch, the municipalities are required in terms of their regular participation expenditure to report that to the agency responsible for local government problems. And that's actually framework legislation. Further legislation has not been developed as to how to deal with the problems, but there are legislation in terms of the regulations of the community in place to say when that is reported, the council must then give either the impact or establish a committee to do an investigation into that. Why is it illegal? Why is it unauthorized? Why is it purposeless for expenditure? And that committee then must report to the council, the full council, on the findings and the recommendations of that. So if that recommendation is to recover the money, then council should implement actions to recover that money from the person or the persons responsible. But council can also decide not to recover the money and say that the council has received full value of that money. But the laws and the regulations in the case of irregular expenditure have not been followed in procuring that. But Chairperson, in the case of Stellenbosch, you can definitely come back to the committee and find out what the exact detail is and how council and to extend the committee that has been established in terms of section 2 of the MFMA has dealt with that irregular expenditure. Chairperson, this last response from my side on the cost of compliance. We will push for, we will push compliance, and we are very strong on governance in the province, but we will also push service delivery, and we will have a balanced approach. So indicating to the committee what the views are of municipalities to say that the cost of compliance is exorbitant is not implying to say that we must actually relax from the compliance, it's fundamentally to raise awareness amongst committee members to say, this is what the municipalities are telling us in IGR engagements with us. We can't afford any longer the extensive or the exorbitant cost of innovation to compliance. But I don't want the committee to go away and say that it's not something that we support in this province. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Mr. Paulson.
Chairperson, so thank you, Chair. In terms of the question around the prime audit fund, what is what the general has, it does give what the prime audit fund. However, the prime audit funds are performing under the auspices of the auditor general itself. So it uses all the infrastructure, if I can call it that, the software or the audit methodology, or the infrastructure that ADM. It uses that and performs according to that. And our quality control units and make sure that they perform according to that. So the assumption or the maybe that the auditors or the perception that the private audit firms are not as rigorous as Auditor General itself when it comes to performing the audit, that audit file won't pass our review processes if that was the case. So the application of the audit methodology of the Auditor General and the private audit firm performs that audit is exactly the same as when the audit is performed by the Auditor General. That's how it works. And then the amendments to the Act.
In that regard, we obviously will keep all the stakeholders within the Western Cape informed when we have a material director, because what will happen in the end, there's going to be remedial action or recommendations and issues or what the situation might be, and we will, and then obviously there's going to be a time span as to when certain processes need to happen. So we'll keep all the stakeholders, which includes local government, provincial treasury, and so on, informed of the progress we are making for the implementation of the public order act and any issues that comes up.
Thanks, Dr. I can't get after the question. I think it was
right now and then come back and then
allow me to say that that would be part of the additional information that was provided. It provided clarity in terms of the initial report that's provided makes us understand a little bit more. And I think if we have grand this report in opposition for weeks now, and some targets are zero, but if you look at the annual report, you will be aware that there's annual targets or biannually, etc. There's no reflection of non-performance. So my suggestion is that seeing that we've had this sort of report in opposition for weeks, I propose that it may not be necessary to go through the presentation, that if there's any matter that you think that you want to raise that needs further clarification, if you have it in your possession, please do so, and then you raise it, and then if not, then you can consider this report done and dusted. We will have an opportunity to deal with the second quarter's performance based on. And so may I from the council also now just propose in terms of presentation is that we have comparative sort of performance in the first quarter and second quarter. I think it will assist them as well. Do you have any serious matters that you want to raise?
Okay, I'm not on what you proposed.
Okay. Pardon, Wilson? No, thank you, Colin. Thank you very much. Do you have a refreshment out there? Please help yourself. We will join you later.
Yeah,
as
an internal business, you can just use that in order to do that. Because basically, it's just dealing with the presentation. So you can just use that.
Yes, I suppose we will. Can I be careful? You suppose that?
that we schedule this meeting next year, a similar meeting, taking under the review of the municipality's performance in the 2018-2019 financial year, as early as possible.
It's our first meeting in the new year.
Well, as soon as they are ready, it seems to me that end of January is a deadline for them, and then they'll be shortly thereafter.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll have our very first meeting.
We'll have to see when the new capital is available.
We need to be proactive and communicate with the agent's office in terms of about when reserves be available. We can be at the earliest date that we can meet with them, because so they don't get tied up in other meetings, and then they can only see us in 3 months' time in the office. So yeah, certainly. But I think in terms of the quarterly reports, we're going into this annual report phase. I don't know if we're going to have time for score quarterly report. So what I would propose that we, at our very first meeting, we get reports for all 3 quarters, second and the third quarter, and not only the second quarter.
Yeah, maybe the questions and the second quarter will be July or September. So we are just finished September, so the department will have some time to file the last. Thank you.
can't give us more insight into their challenges, financial challenges, be it with the associate to make the books balance, or secondly also in terms of compliance with the, excuse me, onerous with the repeated high costs of compliance.
That's right. You know, we invite municipalities to come to a presentation on the onerous responsibility they have and the cost of compliance. Would we invite, I think it's something that Treasury and local government can do. We can select certain people that are being municipalities perhaps on a day collective, like Drakenstein and Stanislaus and other being municipalities that are being done. But that's something that we can consider. But in terms of Honourable Smith's proposal, I think we need to do that. And we could do that. I think it is before Parliament opens, there's often oversight for a constituency period. And I think if we can arrange that within that week before provincial Parliament opens, because we're going to be tired of making our decisions afterwards. It is something to be considered and to be, we can put the process in motion now. And if you have a particular municipality or two in mind that we need to go to, you're welcome to mention it now and for consideration. And then we can address the states, you know, together.
Yes, Chair, I would want to propose that we, especially because of the uproarious protest that is now happening in Drakenstein, we perhaps identify that municipality for now. If there's any others, we can always go identify those and go to it. Chair, I'm reading this in the light of we are moving to a local government election in less than 2 years. And you will see, and it's happening all over the country, that protests are beginning to emerge in municipalities, still delivering protests. So this is not a political party issue. I mean,
it's not just here, yes.
Yeah, but that's just what happens right before the local government election. So we need to understand this committee, what is happening in these municipalities that the president is highlighting.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Just propose the agriculture, environmental, and development planning committee has already envisaged interest also to Cambrian Dam conservation. So I'm just saying that if we want to make a multi-day oversight, perhaps we can also consider looking at some of our smaller rural municipalities, because I do believe that the financial constraints and the constraint of complying that comes down so much harder on your smaller municipalities. The big municipality has got a whole finance division and they can afford, you know, people with chartered accountant qualifications and so on. Quite often our rural municipalities must comply with the very same rules that the city of Cape Town and the Artisan Scambos must comply with. They don't have the same resource in terms of manpower. And perhaps that could also give us some insight to particularly go and look at municipalities which have those limitations. So I'm just mentioning that as a consideration, and perhaps we approval, we can leave it to the chairpersons of the various district custody committees to perhaps liaise to have a combined oversight.
Yeah, that's for sure. We can consider combined oversight visits, you know, perhaps see the municipality where we have to clear. But I think that I'm most simply saying that simply Drakenstein is on the road, so we could certainly, you know, you know, fact in a day where we can do that. I wish I was, we will do that. So we can, depending, you know, yeah, we can do both, of course, you know, yeah, we can kind of debate, of course, you know, we can't do it, we understand that. Is anything else, colleagues, would you like to react?
I would like to propose that we
should. Is it second to that?
We should, yes. Thank you very much.